Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are few days in the church year that I enjoy celebrating more than All Saints' Day. It is a bittersweet celebration, to be sure, as we remember those who have died in the faith, even as we live on now in this sin-filled world. But today is a celebration nonetheless. The vision of heaven that we receive from these texts, from these hymns that we sing, is a profoundly beautiful vision. You can almost see the curtain pulled back and the great multitude of the faithful standing before the Lamb in their white robes, waving their palm branches, singing in joyous unison with the angels, the elders, and the four living creatures in the full glory of God and in His throne. We're on this side of the veil. They're, of course, on the other. But there is only one Lord. In this vision, all those who have trusted in God's promised Messiah, who have died in this hope and faith, are safe with Jesus. Even little infant children who heard God's word in their mother's womb, but never opened their eyes or breathed this putrid air. Even they are with Jesus, around the throne, saved from sin and eternal death by God's grace and His work alone. I know, as many of you know, what it is to mourn the death of a loved one, to have the Spirit of God intercede for me with groans that words can't even begin to express, to be tired of sin and death and suffering and the unrelenting evil of this world. The curse remains a little longer. The wages of sin is death. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Those are difficult words to hear. At least they certainly are for me. I often think about our little babies that died in my wife's womb. The wages of my sin brought death. Formed by God and soon after taken by Him. What can we say? But the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Still, so many women get pregnant, don't want their babies, even kill them. We wanted our children and the Lord wouldn't let us keep them. It's not too strong to say that I was angry with God at this. Here we are at the seminary, serving Him, preparing to serve His people, and I actually felt like He had cheated us. That's quite the accusation against the Almighty, isn't it? Not meek or humble or thirsting for righteousness, hardly a pure thought or prayer that I was offering up to the one who formed me in my mother's womb and still cares for me. But our God is big enough to handle our accusations and frustrations and our anger. He is patient enough to listen to our laments, even when they're against Him, even when they're badly misguided. But today, the first reading of our text pulled back that curtain again and let us look into the beauty and joy of heaven, to the very place where our loved ones, our believing loved ones, are now safe with Jesus in His glory. But we only get a quick glimpse, and then the window, the curtain, seems to close again. And we're forced back to the reality of this fallen world, back to the sweat and the toil that still await us here. And then, almost adding insult to injury, come Jesus' words from the gospel reading, at least the way we often understand these words. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I look at myself and I know I have failed to be these things that He has called blessed. I haven't been holy and I can't be holy as my Lord demands. And you know the same thing about yourself. It seems unfair. It seems like God is joking with us or taunting us a little bit. We get to look into heaven only to find out that we're not worthy to be there. It isn't that these words of God don't condemn us, because they certainly do when they're read as law, as something that you must do. But they don't condemn us for maybe the reasons that we believe, not because we have failed to be something. These words condemn us for our lack of faith in Christ, for thinking that we can work hard enough to earn his blessing and then get into his heaven, rather than receiving this as a gift as he gives it. His words convict us for our ignorance about his kingdom and our anger at his seemingly upside-down ways, especially when we look silly to the world and because his ways don't meet with our lofty expectations or standards. By these words, we stand here condemned and apart from the life of heaven. But we don't stand in that condition for long. He doesn't let us live in self-pity and despair. He didn't preach this Sermon on the Mount to turn us in on ourselves and bring us to despair. He doesn't pull back the curtain of heaven and give us a glimpse so that we can see what we're not going to receive. He preached this sermon and many others to direct our attention, to refocus our hearts and minds on him. Back to the only one who really is blessed. Back to the one who gives real hope. To the one who forgives sins and promises us a future in heaven with him. To the one who doesn't break his promises. He peels back this curtain in the revelation he gave to St. John and then also to us, not to show us what we will be missing out on because of our unworthiness and sins, but to show us that this is our inheritance. This is our future too. These in white robes, they aren't here because they're such good people. They're here because of the Lamb. Their robes are white and holy because they've been washed in his holy, precious blood. They are here because they have put on Christ. And you who have put on Christ will be here too. That's the wonderful message of All Saints' Day. These texts that you've heard, the hymns that you're singing, the sermon that you're listening to, these are not to preach you into hell. Your sins and the devil do that often enough. These are written and spoken that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing you would have life in his name. Jesus does not here lay out a new law that you can't follow any better than all the old laws. He's not telling you that you must work harder and do better if you would inherit his kingdom. In fact, it's just the opposite. He's causing you to look at him, at his reality that is not so obvious to our eyes, and yet no less true. He is speaking in this sermon a profound blessing upon those who are listening to him. Blessed are you in Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is nothing good, but in him you are everything that he calls blessed. The psalmist understands this quite well when he says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Not blessed is the man who doesn't sin. Blessed is the one who is forgiven. God doesn't give us what we deserve, what we have fully earned. Instead, he gives us what we do not deserve, and by the blood of the only begotten Son, he washes away our sins and blesses us, both now and for all eternity. He makes us heirs of heaven. He puts us in that picture on the other side of the curtain, around the throne, just as we gather now to receive his body and blood. The wages of sin are death. That's going to be the case for us in this life. We will physically die unless the Lord returns first. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The physical death of the Christian is not a defeat, no matter how it looks to the eyes of this world or even to our own eyes that doubt this truth. The death of the Christian is victory. because death no longer has power over those who are in Christ Jesus. He laid down his life, and he took it up again, all for you. He was the one, poor in spirit, mournful and meek. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness. He was merciful and pure in heart, and by his death, under the weight of this world's sins, your sins too, he is the peacemaker. He's the one that makes lasting peace between God and man with his own blood. And all of this he has given to you when he put his name on you and sealed you in the waters of holy baptism. This is where he first called you blessed. You are still a sinner, just as you confessed at the beginning of this service, but blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. God is not angry at you, because a broken and contrite heart he will never despise. He loves you. He is greater than your sins, greater than your doubts, greater than your accusations, even when they're against him. Nothing at all that you have done or failed to be can separate you from his love. When your Father in heaven looks at you, he doesn't hide his eyes. He isn't ashamed that he created you. He doesn't see a tainted heart or someone who has despised his word or a coward who slinks away from speaking and living the truth rather than suffering the persecution of this world. He sees right now, at this very moment, a perfect saint of God, a child of the kingdom, an heir of heaven, a beautiful being created in his own image, covered in the blood of his Lamb. He sees another one of his saints that will take their place around his throne in his glory at his perfect time. So today, as we celebrate All Saints' Day and remember those who have died in the faith, and then focus again on Jesus' cross, death, and resurrection from the dead, God peels back that curtain for you to again see and remember the great cloud of witnesses that surround us, the countless number of those who have lived and died in this Christian faith and are safe with Jesus. Let this vision, let these words, let his reality help you keep the things of this life in perspective, and so remember what is most important. Rejoice that, like those who have gone before us, we too have been justified and saved by the blood of the Lamb of God and covered in that blood, covered in his righteousness, apart entirely from our works. We are welcome into his heavenly kingdom. Because you belong to Jesus Christ and because you have been baptized into his death and resurrection, you too will come out of this great tribulation, the great tribulation of this life, with robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. And on that day when Jesus returns and every knee bows before him, all believers will stand with their grandparents and parents, siblings and miscarried children, and with their friends and with those that God has gathered you with together in this place, in this life, with all who trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And the saying will be true. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be your shepherd. He will have led you to the springs of living water, and he will have wiped away every one of your tears. As God speaks, so it already is. Blessed are you in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.